Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice unto them that rejoice, and reap with them that grieve. Be of your same mind one to another, not gratifying things, but whatsoever to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. All right, verse number 14. Bless them which persecute you. How would you define the word bless, Paul?
Wouldn't it say that feed your enemies? If I can't remember the verse, but feed your enemies if you summon that way, so he fires a coal upon their head.
All right, so you try to do what's right. Do what's right and bless. How about what it means to bless? Any hands on that? What does it mean to bless? Said Randy?
To do good.
Right? Do good, all right. And them that persecute you. What way do people persecute fellow Christians? Any hands on that? Bless them. Do good to them that persecute you. What does persecute mean? And how do they do it today? Do they still do it? It's only in Paul's day.
I don't know where you are.
14.
Romans 12.
12, 14
Romans?
Of Romans.
12.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean, them that persecute you bless? What does persecute mean, and how was it done in Paul's day? Is it still done today? Any hands on that? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Any hands on that? Bless them that persecute you. How was it done in Paul's day? Is it done today? And if so, how? Yes, Tammy.
Well, there's different kinds of persecution.
All right.
There's a pressing down or oppressing, and it could be a verbal rebuke or hateful statement, or it could be killing someone, or it could be just belittling someone.
Mm-hmm. All right, persecuting, belittling. Yeah, Vaughn?
I have the name of two men written here.
All right.
I felt were persecuting you. Evidently, April 1st, 2012.
All right. Name
of. Bless them that persecute you and curse not.
You say the name of two men that were persecuting who?
You.
Or me?
In my opinion.
Okay. You don't want to name them?
No.
Okay, yeah, Bill.
Yeah, in Luke 6:28, Jesus said, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you.
Mm-hmm.
Luke what?
It's Luke 6:28.
All right.
Jesus had said things like that several times. I can't remember the other verses.
But all right.
There were several statements that he made like that. He strikes you in one cheek, you know, turn the other cheek or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly what it is, but Jesus was basically trying to teach us, as is this verse here in Romans,
mm-hmm.
To love our enemies.
All right.
Even though a person may be an enemy at a particular moment, the following day he might become a brother.
All right. Anne-Marie.
Well, I was just thinking along that line with blessing is bestowing favor upon them.
All right.
And as Tammy was saying, some of the things, some people have been imprisoned, and, mm-hmm. and that's what Paul was doing, was slaughtering, breathing out slaughter and imprisoning people
mm-hmm.
For their faith.
Right. Paul, yes, Randy.
Well, just as a way of a definition, it could be like a selective mistreatment of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But does it usually mean for a belief or some attribute of the person that they're being selected for mistreatment? I associate it with... belief, the persecution.
Because of what the person believes, you mean.
Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas something like racism or something like that mm-hmm. would be a different type of...
Different kind of persecution.
Different type of persecution or mistreatment.
Mm-hmm. Who was the first Christian in the Bible, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who was killed for his faith?
Stephen.
Named Stephen. Anne-Marie, you raised your hand.
Stephen.
Okay, Bill didn't. Have his hands busy, And so persecute, blesses you. Verse 12, questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-1098, 856-261-9018. Yeah, Paul.
I know Paul, you know, was persecuted, but wasn't he in prison for preaching the gospel?
Yes. How many times is Paul in prison? Any hands on that? How many times in the New Testament? Bill?
Three times.
Three times. What were the three times? Tammy?
Philippi.
Philippi was one. What's the other two? Any hands on that? What was the second imprisonment that Paul was in?
Rome.
Hands on that? Rome? What's the third time Rome was, Paul was in prison? Any hands on that? What's the third time?
Rome
again. Two times in Rome was he in prison, once in Philippi. And God delivered him out of how many of those imprisonments? Any hands on that? How many times those three imprisonments did God deliver him? Yeah, Bill and then
twice.
Tammy. Twice. What were they? Tammy.
Well, you could say he delivered him the third time as well. Because he went to a much better place.
Much better place. But as far as in humanity, they slaughtered him after the third imprisonment. So he knew what imprisonment was. Now it says, that's verse 14, blessed on the persecutor, and curse not. What would that mean? Any hands on that? Curse not. What would that mean? Those persecuting, curse not.
Don't be mad at them.
Any hands on that? Any hands on that? Yeah, Paul.
Could it mean not hold any grudges or animosity toward the other person?
That's good. Could be. Is that easier or difficult?
It's difficult.
Difficult not to curse people against you, persecute you, put you in jail, or take away your house, or try. You certainly have a bad attitude. But he says, bless, not curse. And then in verse 15, Romans 12:15. What does it say to do with those that rejoice? What are genuine Christians to do when other people are rejoicing? Any hands on that? Yeah.
Rejoice with them that rejoice.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And join them in rejoicing in the things of the Lord. That's a wonderful thing to do. And then the last part of verse 15, what does that say? Weep with them that weep. Yeah, Tammy.
It seems like the rejoice with them that do rejoice fits mostly with other Christians, although if it's applied properly,
mm-hmm.
you can rejoice with unsaved if the thing that they're rejoicing in is something that is godly or right.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that's evil, then you definitely don't want to rejoice with
right.
them.
And what do you think that last part of that verse would mean? Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. What does that say about genuine Christians and their attitudes? That Randy and then Paul.
I've always thought it was an expression of empathy.
All right. Empathy. How would you define empathy, Randy?
To identify with somebody who is hurt, suffering,
all right,
as if it were yourself.
All right. And Paul?
Could it mean having compassion on the other person?
Yes, compassion, empathy. That's right. Empathy literally is patheo, which is to feel. It means feel along inside of the same people, along with them. You have feelings with them, empathy, and feel what they feel if possible. And then we say there's number 14, chapter 12, verses 14, 15, and 16. Let's see, 14, 15. I'm trying to see where I'm in the wrong chapter. That's why the problem is. 4 to 12, I'm in chapter 12. All right, 14, rejoice. We read 15, did we?
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, we've already talked about it.
Okay, but 16, did we read 16 yet?
No.
Did we read it yet?
No.
Yeah.
We 14, 15, 16. 16. Yeah, I think we did 14, 15, 16. All right. Be the same mind one to another. What would that mean? Any hands on that? Be of the same mind.
I guess.
Yes, Paul?
I guess kind of having an understanding of what the other person is going through, probably. I mean, I could be wrong.
All right. Going, understanding what people are going through, the same mind. If they're being tortured and with a problem, be of the same mind, try to be sympathetic again with them. Then the last part, the next part of verse number 16, mind not high things. What does that mean? Tammy?
Well, the Apostle Paul tells the church in Philippi that they are to fulfill his joy by being like-minded,
mm-hmm.
and the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Mm-hmm.
That mind, the mind of Christ,
mm-hmm.
they were to have.
That's right. What would high-minded mean? Be not high-minded. What would that mean? Is that in this verse?
Yes.
Okay. What would that mean? Hands on that.
I'm not high things.
Well, yeah, sure, high things. What would high things be? I guess that's where I was trying to get the high-minded. What are the high things? Any hands on that? Yeah, Tammy, and then Bob.
Might be things that have a lot of status with them.
Maybe. Yes, it is a status. Yeah, Vaughn?
Well, I sort of forget what I was going to say, but mind, be of the same mind toward another. Mind not, I guess you're not supposed to be hoity-toity.
Could be.
Or I guess you're not supposed to think you know more than somebody else.
All right.
And if you do know more than someone else, you have mm-hmm. to act like you don't know anything.
Just be
That's
calm.
Rather strange.
Not boasting, not boasting. What does this word condescend for what? To men of low estate. What would that mean, condescend?
Descend voluntarily to the level of. We're supposed to put ourselves down at
All right.
a low level.
Right.
Nobody will do anything at that rate.
Well, yeah, Randy?
This seems to be referring to like putting off prideful or ambitious things and
mm-hmm.
condescending to people that are lowly.
All right.
Be willing to kind of identify with the lowly.
All right. Yeah, Bill?
Condescend means come down to the level of the person you're sympathizing with.
All right.
Come down to their level so that you can understand them
mm-hmm.
And understand the things that concern them.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay within your own sphere of thought, then you're on a higher level,
mm-hmm.
And you're only concerned about yourself. But here, you're giving of yourself to another person.
Mm-hmm. What about these people? Tammy?
Reminds me of Philippians
2,
verses 5 through 8. That this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he took our needs upon him. He, who was
mm-hmm.
God, he became the form of this, like a grasshopper in
mm-hmm.
God's eyes, and took upon him our sins, so that we could be able to fellowship and have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Anne-Marie. Oh, should we find first in Anne-Marie?
Oh, I don't know
who was
first.
Oh, it's Anne-Marie.
It also made me think in James chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons.
Mm-hmm.
For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?
Judges of evil thoughts. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment or enter into our things, or just say hello. Yvonne?
I know we're not supposed to go around and act like we know more than anybody.
All right.
Even when we don't know anything.
Even though we don't know anything.
We may know more than anybody.
The people that don't know anything try to act as if they do know everything. Are there some people like that?
There seems to be, but...
All right, go ahead.
Well, I don't think we have to constantly run around and in such a manner that we never... It's a form of respect if somebody knows something to teach. Like, you're our teacher. Mm-hmm. And for us to pretend we're on your level or you're on our level just so we don't hurt one another's feelings...
Jacob Gromer on Jacob TX.
I don't quite understand how to do this.
Mm-hmm. Oops, that's
the teller. Can do something, and they're not supposed to act like they do it when the whole group is desperately needing somebody with that talent.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to act like you have no talent.
All right. Go ahead, Jacob or Dale. Go ahead.
Pastor Wade.
Yes.
Mama said hi, and I just called to say hi. And are you still on this verse of the 16th?
I believe on the 16th, yes. Uh-huh.
I think the definition here, men of low estate, here is when, here in 10 it says, the ones of lowly condition.
Yes, that's good.
Yes, I think our Lord was like that. Can I read two verses from Matthew 11?
Sure.
All right. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And that's Matthew 11:25.
Mm-hmm.
Then 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I really love this section of verses here from 25 through 30.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, come, take, learn, rest. But I was thinking of how he condescended to the woman at the well,
yes.
John 4.
Yes.
But in the chapter before that, he was more vague with Nicodemus, even though, you know, he was kind of deeper, but on his level. But he made it real clear that wherever you're at, he'll come down to there to save you. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, very good. Thank you, Jacob. Let's wave to Jacob there in Texas, Jacob and Gail.
Mrs. Gromer,
absolutely. All right, let me ask you a question. Those people that are sick in a hospital that you go to visit with them, suppose they're dying of cancer, whatever disease it might be, very serious. Is it possible for you to know exactly what they're going through? Any questions,
unless
hands on that?
Yourself.
Any hands on that one? Is it possible to know, Yvonne?
Not unless you have had it yourself. You
all right.
And then you don't really know because
all right.
Everybody's different.
And Paul?
I was going to say the same thing Mrs. Waite did.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you've gone through an experience or a trauma yourself, you couldn't possibly understand what the other person going through. You may have empathy for that person, but you know, you couldn't possibly relate unless you went through it.
Mm-hmm. So, Tammy.
Well, nobody can understand what anyone else is going through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you've gone through a similar circumstance, nothing is exactly the same because we're all different
right.
people.
Mm-hmm. All different people. It's like Tamri. Did you have your hand?
I think it was me.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I got the wrong hand. Go ahead, Randy.
Anyway, wouldn't there be a humility in Christ that it prevents, or it's different than fake humility? It's true humility.
Mm-hmm.
J- just by being in Christ, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have had to go through everything everybody's gone through.
Mm-hmm.
But to be in Jesus Christ, if we're putting on Christ, then it would be His life, His humility,
mm-hmm.
Kind of working its way out through us,
mm-hmm.
to where we didn't really have to be in the hospital. That's never happened to us. But yet, we can come to bring something to a situation
mm-hmm.
that's other than myself, but just being in the Lord Jesus Christ mm-hmm. to bring encouragement.
Mm-hmm. So not condescending to them, but trying to be sympathetic to them. I think of that every time, every 2 weeks I go to visit hospice people. Pastor Dan goes every 2 weeks as well. And these people are dying, that's why they're on hospice, they're dying. I remember one lady that I still visit every other Thursday. She's dying of cancer, all different types of things. Think of a man I'm visiting every other Thursday, and he's also dying. He's 89 years of age. Think of a woman, just got assigned to her. I don't know what her problem is, but she's also dying. Yes, Pastor Dan Waite's got some. Pastor Dan.
This is for Wendy. It was good to be in Bible study today. So glad to see Randy and Anne Marie feeling better.
Back again.
Thank
for
you.
2 weeks. That's good. Let's wave to Wendy, the Cossacks there in Wisconsin. Thank you very much. So we've got to be understanding.
Paul has his hand up.
Pardon me? Oh, Paul, go ahead.
Is it possible, I know, not that you want to wait until you're at the end of life to do it, but is it possible for a person who, and I don't know if anybody specifically, but is it possible for a person that wants to be born again and hear the gospel to receive Jesus, when they're on their deathbed? I mean, is it possible that they can do that?
A very good question. I believe it is possible. That's why I tell the gospel story to each one that I visit every single time. I go through various chapters of the Gospel of John. And I start with chapter 1, different ones, and chapter 2, 3, 4. I know with one lady up to about chapter 13 or so. And she's been going through about 3 different years. So I've been going through the gospel about several times. Remember, we try to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, clear as simple as we can. Yes, hi, Rob. Go ahead from Chicago.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, everyone. Just wanted to say hi. And I also wanted to mention, we did read verse 15, but we made no comments on it. We passed that right over. But I found it interesting there, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That rejoice is an imperative. That's a command.
Yes. Very good. Well, thank you, Rob. Let's wave to Rob in Chicago. Appreciate that very much. Now, we did go over verse 15.
Yeah.
Maybe your phone was non the toothbrush, but we did go over quickly. And,
there's a question over here.
Yes. Yeah.
One of these two people.
Which one was it?
Oh, I was just waving to Rob.
Oh, waving, saying hello. Yes, verse 15, we did go over, be of the same mind, one toward another, mind not men of highest things, but condescend to men of low estate, be not wise in your own conceit. Well, we didn't go to that last phrase, maybe. Be not wise in your own conceits. I guess we left that one out. What does that mean? What does that last phrase mean in verse 15, Paul?
Somebody who boasting more than he or she really is.
Okay. Boasting more than they really are. Yes, Vaughn?
Sometimes those people are real good, real smart.
Sometimes. Is it good to brag about your smartness?
No.
Is it biblical, as a Christian, to brag about your smartness? Was Paul smart or foolish? Any hands on that? Was Paul smart or foolish, said Tammy?
Well, if you're wise in your own conceits, then you're sort of trusting in your own self.
All right.
As opposed to trusting the Lord.
All right, and you're bragging and so on, your own conceits.
You might not say it, though.
Yeah, that's
right.
You
might just think it.
That's right. Have you ever met a man or a woman who is what we call a little braggadocious? And if so, what does that mean? Ever met a man or woman who's a little braggadocious? What does that mean? Any hands on that? Bon?
Well, I'm like this. Not very, I don't know if very douchey, but I sometimes talk to people and never stop.
Well?
And I catch myself after the first hour. Then I'm doing dog talking. And there's other people exactly the same way.
Well, Pastor Dan, can you straighten us out?
People, are you talking about yourself for the whole hour? I know you. That's
no,
not uncommon, but are you talking about yourself?
Not necessarily, but I'm talking about something we're doing, you know.
Yes.
And I'm excited about it.
What's the question again?
I don't know.
My question ahead?
Yeah, I thought your question was bright.
Yeah. If people talk about themselves constantly, what they do, what they don't do, what their education is different, are they a little braggadocious? And I ask, what does the meaning of braggadocious
mean? I don't
know
if they're braggadocious.
It's a big word, but people use it all the time. But anybody know hands on that, what that means?
Braggadocious?
Mm-hmm.
They're always bragging.
Always bragging, that's a simple thing. I don't know why they don't say a little bragging, but they like to have these big words. No, when you try to, Paul asked that question, those people that are unsaved, that are dying, is it possible to lead them to the Lord? Yes, I believe it is possible. Every time I see this one lady, I've been going there for at least 2 or 3 years. She was dying, and then she got a little bit better, so they took her off of hospice. She's in some other program now, but I go to visit her. They don't pay me anything because I'm not on the right program. But we talk to her about the gospel. We encourage her to trust the Lord Jesus as her Savior and Redeemer. And I think that she's trusting the Lord. She's very glad to see us, and she wants to be saved by genuine faith.
Yeah, we don't have to go through the same thing that everyone else went through in order to be able to be a comfort to them. The comfort is from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And if we have received comfort from the Lord, then we can share it with someone else.
Yes.
That's the point of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Mm-hmm. You know, we share that comfort wherewith the Lord has comforted us,
mm-hmm.
with someone that is in need of comfort. People can go through the same thing and be no comfort to each other.
Just right.
Because they talk about what they've gone through, and then this other person talks about what they've gone through, but neither one listens to the other person, so what good is that?
Yeah.
Right.
Randy.
Yeah, I have a testimony of that. When there was somebody I knew who was very sick and they did pass away, just standing in the hospital room, a lot of the visitors didn't have anything to talk about but like car races and things like that.
Yes.
Which is not, car races and sports.
Mm-hmm.
In the presence of this person who only maybe had a day left to live.
Mm.
So, with that, I was grateful that I had something to give in terms of scripture or encouragement rather than nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a very awkward situation, and I'm just grateful to be able to have something to bring to situations like that when the world really has nothing much that it can or
nothing much. That's right. These people are dying. I know Pastor Dan has the same feeling, I'm sure, that I have, as he visits those that are in hospice, which means they're ready to die, to remember weeks, remember days, just whatever it may be. But we try to give them the gospel of the Savior. I remember I was telling this man, who's 89, I'm 91, he used to be a bus driver, and he says, you're 91, you're still driving? I said, yes, the Lord is going to still drive. So we drive the car, and different things we share. I was telling him about the man, Uncle Charlie Allen, the high school janitor, that sweeping a broom, and asked him, what about the heavens and creation? He said, I know. I was telling him about how he led me to the Lord, how he gave me the gospel. And while I was talking about that, I stopped, and my mind, my words couldn't come out. And his daughter, who was living in the same room, she said, can I get you something to drink? So I couldn't talk. So she gave me something to drink. And as I left the property, she said, can I help you drive out of the driveway so nobody hit you? So there's different experiences. We've been back several times to that place. They're Roman Catholics, but this man is serious in death. And we went over John chapter 3, some very clear verses, chapter 1 and various things. But we try to help those that are in need. And
why couldn't you talk?
Well, I was taken up with emotions. I'm sorry about that, but I started really talking about the man that led me to the Lord. I'm taken up with that. I can't have to stop talking. But she gave me something to drink, a little something to drink, and very nice to me. Her name is Donna. Yes, go ahead, Donna.
Well, one of the last conversations I remember with your mother, it wasn't the last one, but a bunch of my family was there. I don't know how this came up in that whole conversation, but she whispered to me, it's all Charles Allen's fault.
I know. The blame.
And I wanted to talk to her, and I never forgot. I forgot about it. I probably just as well I wouldn't have handled it too
long. My mom used to blame Uncle Charlie Allen for leading me to the Lord and causing me to stop the pursuit of medical doctor, whatever that would lead to, versus preaching the gospel, being a pastor. And anyway, we praise the Lord for Uncle Charlie, faithful gospel preacher, even though he's a janitor. And I was just a young little 17-year-old senior in high school. Well, enough of that, but I just thought I'd bring that up. Be compassionate if we can, and help those, rejoice for those who rejoice, and weep for those that weep. You're the same mind, Yvonne.
When we went to one of their class reunions, we couldn't go to them all, but he said that our class was his last class. He graduated with us.
Yes, Uncle Charlie said that.
Our class.
Our senior class, 1945.
Happened, and that cleaned yourself. I think it's because you were saved.
Right.
And there was a mini revival.
Yes,
in our class.
Two or three of the other young people in our class became Christians, trusted the Lord as
and
Savior.
Some who had been Christians, revealed it to them.
They did.
Secret.
That's right. And then Uncle Charlie, on our graduation, we mentioned him several times. He said, you know, I graduated with your class, 1945. Well, he was there for many, many years, and not a single result. They had a religious emphasis week in those early days, 1945, in our school. And he would take this trophy case with all the trophies in, wipe them all out on this religious emphasis week, and put in their Bible verses with his wonderful calligraphy, whatever you call that. It's not calligraphy. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? With those handwriting, just excellent. And he would give the gospel message right there. And but all those years he did this, I was the only one that came to the Lord Jesus Christ all these years. And that's why he said, I'm his first. Is that what I told you? He told me I'm his first.
Yeah, he said he was his first.
Yes.
I saw you putting the Bible in the locker, and you were a couple lockers for me, but I could
see. Yeah, I told you
I got the Bible. And I said, where'd you get that Bible?
From Uncle Charlie.
And I was his first. My grandfather told me just a few weeks before that Uncle Charlie was a born-again Christian, and explained a lot about the Bible verses all over and everything.
Right.
Because his words, turn the lights out, were beautifully written, just as well as John 3:16.
Oh, yes, you know how to write. I'm sorry to bother you with all that background.
I don't know, but
be the same mind, verse 16, toward one another. Mind not high things. Condescend. Go down a little bit, Lord, to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. What's that last phrase mean? Be not wise in your own conceits. What does conceit mean? Any hands on that? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. What does deceits mean? Conceits. Why is your own conceit? And yes, Anne-Marie.
Our Divine King James Bible says opinions.
Opinions, your own opinions. That's right. Don't brag about your own opinions, even though they may be wise or unwise, but not in their own conceits. Now, we read 14, 15, 16. Let's read 17, 18, and 19 together. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in sight of all men. If it be possible, as merciful to you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But verse 17, recompense means what? Recompense. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Well,
Payment back, and I mean, Tammy?
Payback.
Payback. Don't pay back to any man evil for evil. If he treats you evil, what should you pay him back with?
Good.
What will he think? What will she think if he or she commits evil against you and you pay him back with good? What do you think they'll think about that, Anne Marie?
What's with this person?
Yes. What happened to this person? What's the usual reaction they get from that?
Evil. What?
Evil. Get evil and anger and bitterness. Oh, Master Barber, he's got the answers. Okay. Master Barber. Yes, Barbara. Hi.
Hi, Pastor Wade. Hi, everybody.
Yes, Barbara
just
Wade.
Calling in to check in and say hi.
Well, good. Just waved at Barbara O'Master there.
Hi, Barbara.
Yeah, right here in North Jersey. North Jersey. Thank
your
you for calling.
Your seat is still here.
She's in South Jersey.
South Jersey, yeah. Your seat is still here, Miss Wade said. So come and sit with us one of these days. I'm glad she was able to talk with you and call you last night as well. So that was sent in recompense, no man, evil for evil. Then provide things honest in the sight of all men. What does that mean? Provide things honest.
What verse are you in?
Verse number 17.
Okay.
Any adds on that? What kind of things are you providing here? What are you talking about, do you think? What's the message? Yes, sir, Randy?
I'm not sure. Could it be when evil, confronting evil, there's maybe a truthful response that exposes the evil? Like, I know when Paul was, they slapped him or something, he said, thou whitewashed wall.
Yeah.
So he didn't mean to be disrespectful, but what about an honest response? I mean, it could be taken as cruel, but when somebody's coming at somebody with evil, there has to be some truth, right?
Possible so, but it said, recompense no man evil for evil, but I guess maybe you make a comment, it's not evil necessarily, but it's some sort of comment, but sometimes our comments, in the light of all that, what's happened could be interpreted as evil.
Yeah.
If we really are grossly adamant against that person that's done us evil. But it's a ticklish situation. It's just a very easy to miss your steps on that. Recompense to no man evil for evil. The second part of that verse 17, it says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. What would that entail? What would be the opposite of that, dear Tammy?
Well, honest says honorable, respectable, commendable. So things that are good, the opposite of evil.
All right.
You know, so we're to, even though the other person is doing evil, we're to be doing things that are honorable, respectable,
right,
and commendable.
And what do you think would be involved in providing for yourself? Providing. What would that entail?
Giving it somehow.
Giving?
Yeah.
Okay, it's possible. What else might it
entail? What verse are you in?
Verse number 19. What is it?
17.
Last part. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. What provisions might this entail? What provision is he talking about, or possibly? What does it mean to provide for yourselves? In all things.
Take care of yourself, yeah.
What does it mean, provide? Any hands on that? What things do you provide for yourself? What things does your husband or wife provide for themselves? What does the government provide for certain people? What do other people provide for themselves?
Food, clothing.
Food and clothing, that's right. And are there some people that provide for themselves in a different way, as far as the last part of that verse, provide themselves in lust. Oh yeah, the verse number 17, for themselves in a dishonest fashion. And if so, what would be a dishonest fashion of providing for themselves? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Stealing.
Could be stealing, that's right. If Bill was telling, he said, lunch, if he runs again for president, if he's elected, he's going to give everybody who comes into this country all the provisions, free taxes, free food, free, medical.
Don't vote for Bill.
So he was joking about that. I realize that. But you see, would that be providing things honest in the sight of all men?
No,
it would not be. And gee, a lot of people think that's the way to go. See, Tammy's got something. Go ahead, Tam.
Hello to everyone. Appreciate the morning service and this afternoon's Bible study. Julie
Monahan, Erie, Pennsylvania. Wave to Julie. Thank you, Julie. Appreciate your call and email to us. God bless you. Come. It snowed today, Julie. I know you told me now when the weather gets all right so I can come down here to see you. I will do so. This is the first real big snow. It's only 2 inches of snow, but it was an interesting snow. But Julie, when it's nice weather, come and see us again. Love to see you again. All right, so that's verse 17. Verse 17, I think, wasn't it? All things honest. Did we read 18 already? Did we read 18? I forget.
Yes,
okay.
We read 18 and 19.
18 and 19, okay. So, if it be possible, why is that in there, do you think? What does it mean, if it be possible?
Why?
Any hands on that? If it be possible. Yvonne.
Sometimes it's not possible to live honest in the sight of all men. You may be living honestly, but all men won't know you're living honestly.
What? Yeah, Tammy.
I think it's, if it be possible, it refers to the following, what follows it, rather than providing things honest.
All right. Now, why does he say that to start with? In other words, when you say that, if it be possible, what are you thinking when you write that, do you think? Maybe it isn't possible. Maybe it won't be possible. But he's putting an if clause here. Just if it is possible. Now, sometimes it isn't possible. But if it is possible, if it be possible, subjective mood, what are you supposed to do if it's possible? In verse 18. Yeah, Tam?
Live peaceably with all men.
Peaceably with all men. What does it take to live peaceably with all men?
Patience.
Any hands on that? What does it take? Yvonne?
Patience.
It takes patience, that's true. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. To live peaceable with all men, is it necessarily possible to live peaceable with all men? Yeah, Tammy?
When we have conflicting ideas, I'm thinking of America now.
Yeah.
In America, and one group, is way over here about all their progressive ideas. And
yes.
Other group here wants to preserve the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some conflict.
Randy, if it be possible.
As much as possible without compromise.
Yes.
Because it could mean, in some instances, a compromise that it isn't possible to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And just merely witnessing can throw somebody into a fit.
Yes. You told me this afternoon about a woman, and there are two things against the woman. She's going to be a pastor, but what two things are against that woman? We talked about that earlier.
She's a lady pastor.
Which is not right, scripturally.
But at least she's a pagan minister.
Pagan minister. What are her beliefs, background beliefs?
That's the Unitarian.
Unitarian.
Unitarian Universalist Church.
Yes.
Which is the, it's the ultimate broad road religion.
Yes.
They claim to believe in everything, but they do not, in particular Christianity.
Right, no deity of Christ, no bodily resurrection, so on. That's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you wrote her a little note, and you told it like it was. What generally did you tell her? This one that told you about this wonderful thing about how she's a woman, going to be a woman pastor.
Well, there was the response. she stated that there's different, people take different, we have different, very different spiritual paths.
Mm-hmm.
My answer was, yes, there are very different spiritual paths. There are many wide spiritual paths that people take, but there's only one true, narrow way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the response.
Jacob Robert or Jacob T.
Yes, that's good. Okay. Okay. That's Jacob. Yes, Jacob, right ahead, Jacob Perfectus.
Hey, Pastor Wade, are y'all still on verse 17, sir?
Yes, sure, sure you are. Go ahead.
We are.
I think so.
You know, this could mean a lot of things here, but I think the main thing is, you know, over in 2 Corinthians 8, on the giving of to the honest ministries, honest, you know, preachers, I think what I'm looking at here, what this looks like to me in 2 Corinthians 8, Pastor Wade, is these two verses here, 20 and 21, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. So the only way I can see that there is the preaching of Paul and whoever else he's talking about here, Titus, because it says in 16, thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Okay, so over here in 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. In the very next verse, about only giving money to good, you know, honest preachers, you know, solid preachers, you know, solid doctrine preachers, Bible preachers, provide honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men.
Yes.
I am in here that this is this would be the main thing here for the honest things. The way I see it over here in Romans 12:17, because recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. I can't see anything more honest than giving anybody the gospel.
Right.
There's no higher benchmark of truth.
Amen. Well, I thank you. Appreciate that. That's wave to Jacob over there in Texas. Glad to see him. Amen. Jacob and his mother as well. So that's interesting, that whole situation. Now, if it be possible,
Pastor,
please be Yvonne.
Randy was giving his answer.
Oh, yes. Go ahead, Amy. I'm sorry.
Texas.
Finish your answer if you remember what answer it was.
Oh, I don't recall. I think I was pretty much done.
Pretty much done. Okay.
Okay.
But there's,
I didn't know whether he finished it, but everybody got to hear the first.
So yes. He sent a letter to the...
Oh, that lady.
The lady.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to remember. Did you tell us what you said?
What she said?
No, what you said.
Oh, what I said. I said that you said, meaning her, that there are many different spiritual paths, and I said my answer was yes, there are many spiritual paths in life that people take. There are many wide spiritual paths, but there's only one narrow right way.
Yes.
That's right.
Lord Jesus, I am the way. Well, as I said, if this is your first number 17, if it be possible,
verse 18,
if it be possible, as much as life and you live peaceably with all men, do you think it's possible for those of us who believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, his bodily resurrection, dying for the sins of the world, do you think it's possible for those of us with that belief to live peaceably with those that deny all these cardinal beliefs? Is it possible to live peaceably with those that deny these things? Yes or no? Any hands on that?
I guess it's possible.
Is it possible?
Maybe, maybe not. Depends on those.
But is it possible that they won't live peaceably with you if you believe all these doctrines of the faith and they deny them? Seems like there'd be a battle somewhere if they have any starch in their unbelief. And if we have any starch in our beliefs, it takes two people with starch to stand up for what they believe. And what does that mean, somebody with starch? It's an old expression. What does it mean?
Yes.
Nobody knows?
No, it's before my time.
What is that?
It's before
your time. Okay, we used to believe that. If anybody has a backbone, you know what backbone is. Stand up straight, be strong, what you believe.
Schmaltz.
That's what smart was it?
There's another word, schmaltz.
Schmaltz, yeah, a little smart. So anyway, we'll stop right here. But do you have any other comments or questions? Pick this up right about verse 18, verse 19. Yeah, Paul.
No, could you tell me when my bus comes at
okay.
About 2:30?
Not yet. Not yet. Paul, I saw Bill standing up looking around the other just a while ago, but he didn't see anybody. Any other comments or questions before we close? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee. We could talk about these things in chapter 14 of Romans, or chapter 12, rather. Help us, Lord, to understand what thou dost have for us in thy words, and help us, Lord, to live peaceably if we can, but if we need to stand firm for thy truth, help us to stand, no matter what reactions, what persecutions might come from that. Keep us faithful to thy words and to thy Son, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, let's...